Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fails.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I call your bleeding.
Hour number two of the Murph and Andy Show. Guilty pleasures has reached the letter P.
Well, Papa Roach.
We have been sitting on P for a couple of weeks here, Ross Peterson. I was going to say P for Peterson. Ross joins us here for a little bit in Murph's stead. We do guilty pleasures. You know how this.
Right. Wouldn't have got this. Papa Roach, by the way.
Yeah. Do you have some Primus in there? I figured you'd put some Primus in there.
Yeah, I got that Primus at the end of the hour, yeah.
I don't mean to give that up for you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
As an Eastsider, Pantera.
Yeah, I had some Pantera.
Pantera. Play there. Walk?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. Well done.
Was there a fight?
I would have fought somebody if they were in here, man.
That's why we had to get Michael Admire out of here before that. We had punched the other wall with his left hand and had no hands. We've been sitting on P for a while, but the last time we were ready to do it when Murph was out of town, we had the whole Dolph thing went down.
That wouldn't have been very easy transitions.
No, that didn't work. And then we had it all loaded up for this past Friday, but then we were out at Prairie Meadows for the IFCA clinic. You guys went out there on Friday.
Yeah.
And did you have fun?
I imagine
you had as much fun as we did. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we didn't have as much fun. I mean, you got Farley and Ferentz and Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to the Norwalk coach and the DCG coach.
Oh, really? Those other coaches didn't come back.
They were fantastic.
Well, Travis
but
came
I just,
in town.
You know, there was a little bit of a step back in the quality of guests. I'd say that the known quality of the guests, they were fantastic guests.
We will take you back to some of that in a few minutes here. But first, we got to do Trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, the Drake Bulldogs are co-champions of the Missouri Valley Conference and the 2 seed in this week's Arch Madness tournament. But they'll be without DJ Wilkins, who broke a bone in his ankle, will miss the rest of the season. Drake plays Friday against the winner of Illinois State and Evansville.
God, that sucks.
Mm.
That is just terrible. It's just terrible. This team cannot avoid bad news this year. Jeez. This season. Oh, man. I feel so bad for them.
It's an absolute success, though. I mean,
it's a resounding success.
At this point, it's, you know, you feel like one of those guys from the Holy Grail, you know, that you chop a leg off and they keep fighting. Yep. Chop an arm off, they keep fighting.
Come on!
Yeah, exactly.
Bite your leg off!
At this point, it's like, come on, Drake, you're just going to bleed on them. Get over there, but they're going to go down there and fight and going to win a game or two.
I hope so.
The loss of Norton was so much bigger than the loss of Wilkins. It's a big loss with DJ. But that was such a
But they had recovered. They had really hit a stride. They really are playing fantastic, heady basketball. I guess the whole thing is hard, but I mean the fact that they were able to come back from Norton's injury, and this guy's a freshman. He's been playing so well. He's kind of a different freshman we're talking about. But you really believe that they could. I mean, they didn't do so well this year because of their talent. They had heart this year, so maybe they can save themselves with that same heart. It still sticks.
Trending Iowa's Steve Prohm said today he expects Cam Lard to play in Wednesday's game at West Virginia, but Nick Weiler-Babb is a game-time decision after suffering an injury in the loss at Texas.
There's another team that has just had one little ding after another this year. Man, West Virginia, that's a dangerous game still. I know that they've been down this year and rebuilding a little bit, but that's still going to see Bob Huggins in a weird building.
It's a goofy place, but by most accounts, West Virginia has absolutely mailed it in.
Just go ahead and quit. Yeah. I think that's what you'll find with Iowa at Nebraska at the end of that season. Tim Miles probably on his way out.
They had lost 5 in a row. They'd lost 8 of 9. I think at this point they've lost like 9 of 11. West Virginia's in bad shape right now. This might actually be exactly what Iowa State needs, is to play a team like this that you can go in there, not play good basketball, certainly not hit on all strides, not have your best weapons, and still get away with a victory. And it seems like that's enough these days. Like, we all live and die with whatever just happened with our team.
Oh, my God. So yeah, right.
I mean, get a W, it's like, oh, yes, we're back. Oh, thank God. 4 seed.
Both Iowa and Iowa State had sustained success this year, right? God, that's getting foggy. Getting fuzzy, trying to remember when that was exactly.
You're legitimately questioning that. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, well,
I know that they did. Give you quick recall.
Not this year, Andy. No.
Yeah, Iowa won 4 in a row. They were doing fine. They won 5 in a row at one point. 4 in a row, 5 in a row. They were clicking along.
Both those teams had sustained success this year.
Yeah, they did. They had stretches of sustained success.
But it is hard to remember.
It is.
Hey, some good news. Finally, trending in Iowa. Megan Gustafson is the Big Ten Player of the Year. The Hawkeye senior was given the honor by both the league's media and coaches. And 3 in-state teams are still ranked in the women's AP poll. Iowa now 10th. And the Hawkeyes open Big Ten tournament play Friday night. Iowa State is 19th. And the Cyclones close out the regular season tonight at home against Kansas. And Drake now tied for 22nd. And they have 2 home games this week.
Unpack that. How long did the Big Ten Player of the Year vote take?
However long it takes for all of them to raise their hands.
Yeah. Megan, all for Megan Gustafson. All those opposed. Okay, we're done. This has been, I was trying to think about this earlier today. I don't cover them anymore, so I don't have my finger on the pulse, but it does seem like this is the most successful women's basketball season. All teams combined, or the big three around here combined, that we've ever had in my time here. Maybe ever, period. Iowa State and Drake, between those three. Three ranked teams winning or competing in their conference. I mean, Baylor is way ahead of everybody in the Big 12, but Iowa has the 2 seed. Iowa State, at this point,
Andy,
as a 2 seed, and Drake has lost 1 Valley game.
Is it fair for me to say, even with everything you said is true, this is the most successful women's basketball season we've had in this state ever? Still doesn't get a lot of play.
Nope.
So
it doesn't.
If Iowa State or Iowa or Drake were to all of a sudden make that leap into the realm of Baylor and UConn and be a real national contender, would that change? Would we care more?
Yeah, we would care more. I mean, it's hard to picture that because they've never been at that level. And there is such a gigantic divide between the top 3 or 4 teams and everybody else in women's basketball. I mean, it's a huge step.
And is that maybe one of the things that holds?
Big difference between Baylor and Iowa State, even though they're 1-2 in the conference.
I think it's a problem because, like, Iowa
right now. We just can't tell.
Iowa's a top 10 team. Competed for a Big Ten title, has the Big Ten Player of the Year, maybe the National Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. And do you think they're going to make a Final Four?
No.
Do you think there's a chance they make a Final Four?
Or win a national championship? Right. Like, that's laughable,
absolutely,
right?
And this is the best team Lisa Bluter has had, and she is a great coach with a great program.
Right.
And there's just it feels like there's no chance for them to make a real, real run at a national title. And so I do think that affects things. Can they make a Sweet 16? Absolutely.
Yeah.
They've had a great season. I don't think they can win a national title. I don't think they can get to a Final Four, and that's a problem.
I think if, suddenly a new coach came in and Iowa or Iowa State, kind of remade a little bit, freshened up. In other words, I guess that's what I'm looking for. They're freshened up. They have just kind of a different kind of recruit start coming there for whatever reason, and they are a top 3 team. And go to a Final Four, I absolutely think it would become it's not going to get to the level of men's basketball, but it would go up significantly from where it is now. Because, I mean, back in 2000, 2001, when Iowa State was the best that Bill Fenley has had them, they were putting, I don't remember them selling out Hilton Coliseum, but they were coming close. They had big crowds. They traveled really well. It was a big deal. Still is a big deal for women's basketball, but I mean, I think there are fans here. I mean, Iowa kind of prides itself in supporting women's basketball more than most states do. I mean, we really do.
I thought you were going to say, Andy, we pride ourselves in supporting those, I don't want to call them fringe sports, but those non-major sports. Women's basketball, wrestling.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
wrestling,
we do.
We're obviously a big fans of. And I think it's kind of the same
conversation.
Oh,
yeah, you bring a women's golf event here or a senior tour or something like, we always do that. Yeah, we line up for the
non-major.
The B levels. Yeah, we do that.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Ross Peterson joining us for a little while here. Oh, yeah. I wanted to hear some of this. Thank you, Andrew. Andy Fales, Andrew Downs with you as always. We were talking a little bit about hearing Kyler Murray. Everything basically he's had to say since we've known that he was headed to the NFL draft. The Dan Patrick interview was
cringeworthy.
It was really cringeworthy. Did you hear that, Ross?
I think uncomfortable. Yeah, cringeworthy.
It's as bad as I've heard an athlete come off in an interview without saying something ridiculously dumb, right? But like, he just.
We were making him all the excuses in the world, where we were saying, well, maybe his dad was sitting there, or he didn't. It was Super Bowl week. He didn't want to embarrass himself. He didn't want to say anything. But you could also just tell that he was really odd, right? Off in that interview. And I don't know. I'd never heard anything about him in his time at Oklahoma being a weird interviewer or anything like that. But it didn't seem like that could possibly be his first time being uncomfortable on a microphone, right? Because he was so uncomfortable, it would almost seem like somebody would have stepped up and said, I don't know what was going on with Kyler. He's usually a really good interview. But nobody said that.
Yeah. If it was, as you were saying, if it were out of the norm, somebody would have said, oh, that was weird. Nobody stepped up to say, that was weird, except for people that had never heard him before.
And now, after the fact, it's interesting to think, like, I had never really seen or heard much of an interview with him, and he was the biggest name in college football for most of the season. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of came on, he surged late and passed Tua, but yeah, I mean, he was a huge deal. Played here, played for a Big 12 team. I mean, he was hardly it's not like he was from, you know, University of Hawaii or something. Right. You just never heard from the guy. But now we have another interview with him. Where is he right now?
Yeah, so this was at the combine, and
all he did
at the combine was he gave an interview, he got measured, and he didn't run or throw. He's going to do that at his pro day, which is fine.
And we should point out that his measurement, Ross, was the biggest deal at the combine so far.
It's been taller than 5'10".
He has been like the biggest winner in American sports.
Well, because of that. When we first talked, we had people calling, "Oh, he's 5'8".
Right.
He might be 5'6". Tiny little dude.
Yeah. And because he looks that small, it's easy to forget how big football players
are. Exactly, when he's standing next to a 6'5 lineman.
But, I mean, he looked like a little guy.
But yeah, I heard this clip on Fox Sports yesterday morning on my way to church. They were talking about this. I found this interesting. He's at some press availability at the Combine, and Bryce Harper just signed this giant guaranteed $330 million contract on the heels of Manny Machado's giant guaranteed $300 million contract, and Kyle Murray just chose to play football instead of baseball. So he's asked about this, and I found his response odd.
Harper got $330 million yesterday, guaranteed. That doesn't give you any pause here with this decision or anything?
How much money is that a year?
Oh, $25 million.
Okay. Everybody makes a big deal about it because it says $300 million. I mean, there's quarterbacks making more money than him a year.
Which I guess is true. I think Matt Ryan is scheduled to make $30 million, although almost none of that is guaranteed.
Right. Yeah. But
I guess more so.
This
just
is all
kind of
guaranteed.
The antagonistic way that he, how much money is that a year? Again, maybe I shouldn't break this down as much, but there are so many better ways to answer that question. I think. just say, oh man, good for Bryce Harper. I'm not playing football for money. I'm playing it because I love football.
Or
that's why I
point out the obvious. Yeah, he's been in the league for a while. He's really proven himself. Maybe I'll get to that point. Just keep serving up the humble pie, right?
Maybe
I'll be in the league and do really well, and I'll get a contract like that sometime. That'd be great.
In this, like, you know, and I'm guilty of it in this moment. We're all kind of knee-jerky, and we make judgments about people on not a lot of information. I don't know a lot about Kyler Murray. I've never talked to him. Maybe he's a really, really nice guy. As I sit here today, I don't really like him.
Well, that's the reason that we do interviews, that people do interviews, right? Because you want to get to know them. It's not for our sake. It's not for the media's sake. I mean, it's for fans to get to know more about them. You want to know more about the person behind the numbers, right?
Yeah.
And that this is who you're getting to know. And, you know, this is where a lot of the dollars do come from, a lot of the image comes from. And if the person, you know, there are some people out there that just don't have good personalities and they're hard to like. And you don't want the face of your franchise to be one of those guys, or it's that much more work for him to do to become a star. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just one of those guys that really just needs to learn to take the Marshawn Lynch approach.
Yeah, I agree with Andrew that right now what I do know about Kyler Murray, I'm not a fan of. The perspective, it's almost ironic. Right before we came on the air, I was asking you two if you saw the E60 program this weekend where they re-aired a piece they did almost a decade ago when Bryce Harper was like 17 years old. E60 went, because Sports Illustrated called him the chosen one.
Right.
So E60 went and did this whole thing about him going to this community college and what his baseball career had been like. And you kind of see that same stuff. You know, now, knowing Bryce Harper now, it's easy to see it and go, wow, this kid was really confident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Bryce Harper.
Right.
But at the time, it would be like, man, this 17-year-old
kid. Who does he think he is?
He totally had that reputation when he came in.
And I kind of hear that with Kyler Murray. Like, I kind of hear this kid that from the time he's probably been 12, people have been saying to him, you're special. You've got something really special. And you're going to be a millionaire. And you're going to be the greatest of all time. And I think that would make you, by 17, 18, 19 years old, like, hey, I own the world, man.
I don't know that he sounds cocky to me necessarily. I think he just sounds really awkward.
He does sound awkward.
And that's the real red flag, because it concerns you that this guy might not be very bright, right? I mean, and when you have a quarterback and a guy you're investing that much money in, you want to believe that this is somebody who isn't just loaded with natural talent, because everybody in the NFL is loaded with natural talent. You want to believe it's a guy that can kind of think his way through the challenges that are presented to him at that level of football, because they are great
challenges, right? That's a great point.
And especially the quarterback, you want to think of a guy that's going to be, you know, kind of problem solving while he's out there. And if it turns out that he just sounds this uncomfortable because he's not very bright and can't come up with a good answer on, you know, on a pressure like that, then that's what kind of sets up. Those are the alarm bells you don't want to be setting off.
Think of guys that have had really good NFL careers, and they've got one of two things. They're either really smart guys, or they've got a really dynamic personality. Like, I don't think anybody's going to say Brett Favre or like Terry Bradshaw is the best book smarts guy.
No.
But that's a foxhole guy,
no,
right?
Yeah.
You want that personality as a leader
and
around
really
you.
A really great leader.
Right.
Brett Favre did have some crazy athletic ability.
Andy, while you were going through that, I'm trying to think of NFL quarterbacks that kind of had this attitude a little bit, or maybe attitude is the wrong word. I think you put it on the head. Awkwardness. It doesn't serve well in the NFL.
Like a Ryan Leaf type, standoffish, surly. I don't know. We're going too far with this guy right now.
He's 19.
He's young on a couple of interviews. I mean, we're reading too much into this, but it's hard not to when there's that much money on the line, there is that much pressure with a number one draft pick, and some of these teams, some of these general managers, I mean, their job depends on this pick, right? I mean, they're made or broken depending on this pick.
We were just sitting down and saw something flash across that the Cardinals are considering him, or could reportedly considering him for the number one pick.
Well, right, absolutely. I mean, you know that Cliff Kingsbury is a fan. That he said that he would take him number one. That's back when he was at Texas Tech. But, I mean, they have that pick now. Josh Rosen, I think, they thought that he was fine last year, but he didn't set the world on fire. You could trade him. You could get something for him. Still get Kyler Murray with a number one overall pick. I don't know, man. That still seems like a bit of a stretch to me. But who knows?
He should have answered that. Should have answered that the way AD said. Yeah. That'd have been the best way to handle that.
He is an unbelievable athlete. No question about it. So it is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. And I wanted to
some good interviews.
Talk about some good interviews?
Yeah, like we had on Friday.
We had great interviews on Friday. Ross, I'm sorry you got there, in time for your show, of course.
It's okay.
you got there too late to hear ours.
Here's what really sucked. I got to hear only about 20 minutes while I was leaving this building and driving out to Prairie Meadows. And then because I got out there about 3 o'clock. And then from 3 to 4, I just sat and I didn't actually get to hear your show at all.
Well, it wasn't the show that was what we did with the show that was all that great. It's the fact that we had these three football coaches that are really kind of in their element, right? I mean, they're not under the pressure of a season. They're among their own tribe, no doubt about it. Football coaches, football equipment. They're having a good weekend. Mark Farley, Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell.
Ferentz is like the bride at the wedding.
Well, they are, and everybody wants to talk to him. Yeah. Everybody wants a picture with him. But it's not like it's a bunch of fans, though, right? I mean, it's a bunch of people that are speaking his language that want to talk football with all three of these guys. Want to talk football with them. They want to pick their brain and vice versa. I mean, I think all three of them, Farley and Ferentz, Campbell, all go there to learn a little bit themselves. But anyway, it's for 2 years in a row, it's been fun for us because we get them out of their element a little bit and are able to sit down and just sort of have fun with them. And here are just some, do you want to do these one at a time here?
Yeah, I'll set them up just a
little bit. Okay, yeah, let's go back and just a couple. I want to hear this from a third person perspective here. Having a bit across the table, you listen differently.
We'll start with the first one we did, which was Mark Farley. And you guys talked, again, all these are available on podcastkxno.com, Murph and Andy show page, all of that. I highly recommend listening to all three of these interviews. They are fantastic. My favorite part of the Mark Farley interview is when you and Scott Sipker asked him what he would be doing if he wasn't coaching.
If you weren't in coaching, what would you be doing?
You know what? I'd probably be driving my truck that I was when I came out of high school. I went
driving
to,
like being a truck driver.
I'm a non-traditional a football coach. Now, I'm a non-traditional student. When I came out of high school, nobody recruited me. I was okay, but I wasn't a Division I player. So in my town, you just went to work. And my dad was in the quarries. He was in the gravel pit, and he was a foreman. So I was hauling gravel and loaders, crushers. That's what I did because that's what our family did, and that's all I knew growing up.
Did you like it?
You loved it. I mean, it was hard work. I mean, you just went to work. That was part of life. And you got up. You worked on Saturdays as much as you worked on Wednesday, and that was part. And then when I got laid off, and in the winter you get laid off, and, and because of
the seasonal
work, seasonal job. So then I pick up a sub job of hauling tires all across this state, and I'm delivering tires to all these mom and pop gas stations back in those days.
Were you driving 18 wheeler?
I wasn't 18. It was a dual axle. I mean, it was a full load now. Okay, so it was tandem axles, and lo and behold, though, long story short is, my buddy went to school at UNI. He said, "Hey, come up here and spend a night with me on your trip." It was April. It was spring ball at Northern Iowa, night practice, 7 o'clock at night. I go to practice over at 9. I go, I want to do this. I walk down on that football field, flannel shirt, blue jeans, steel-toed boots, greasy old ball cap. I didn't know. I just walked down there, asked the coach, how do you walk on? And if that guy doesn't take the time to tell me how to do it that night, I'm still driving that truck. Wow. But because of a coach, that's why I'm sitting here today.
He was ready to go right back to driving that truck after telling that story. He had stepped right outside and gotten in there.
Absolutely love that story. Yeah. Farley used to fish on the river with my Uncle Brad.
Which river is that?
On the Mississippi. Because he grew up in Waukon.
Okay.
And then, somehow ended up in the Quad Cities for a while. I don't remember if that was one of his first coaching jobs. My uncle worked at a golf course over there. And when Farley became the head coach, my uncle called me. He's like, "Hey, do you know this Mark Farley guy?" No, he's like, "Man, this is a guy. I used to fish with him on the river." So one of the first times I ever talked to Farley, I off the air, I'm like, "Hey, remember a guy named Brad Peterson?" He's like, "Oh." So my uncle swears by all the things that you just heard there. He's an amazing guy, really down to earth. I love that.
Yeah, just
story.
A real salt of the earth type of guy. I had a great visit with Kirk Ferentz too. We get to talk with him so much, though, we didn't really have to do any catching up. We wanted to we asked him to look back over each of his 20 football seasons.
I thought this was a great idea, and if you haven't heard this, if you're an Iowa fan, it's like a 20-minute interview. I broke it out as its own podcast. This is must-listen for any Iowa fan. I promise you, you will love this interview. I just grabbed a couple of years of him reminiscing.
In 08, 9-4 in 08 with a big rebound season, that Sean Green ran wild.
Yeah, that was a really gratifying season, a lot like this past season in my mind. We were 3-1, I think, then. We went to 3-3, or maybe we were 3-0 and went 3-3. I think we lost three games by 10 points, 11 points, something like that. But they're tough to lose. But our guys were doing things right on a daily basis. And then we ran the tail. I'm taking it back. I think we won 6 out of 7 after that. Lost over to Illinois on a last-second field goal. But that team just they worked hard. They were great together. And a lot of close games, but just – yeah, just kept improving and really finished in a way everybody could be proud of.
09, I think everybody remembers another one of our favorite seasons. Yep. 11-2 in the Orange Bowl. So many memories from that season. What is one that stands out to you?
Well, I mean, anytime you have a season like that, you know, you have to have some crazy things happen. The crazy ricochet play where Sash got it against Indiana. We were in trouble there. I mean, that was a miracle play. And if that doesn't happen, we're going down in that game, too. So Indiana pops up again. And then probably my favorite memory is just the defense against Georgia Tech, you know. And Norm, I remember seeing Norm about 3 weeks before the game. He had an old Manila folder from, like, 1971. And he held it up in front of me, and he goes, "I got it." You know, one of those deals. And he did. He got it. I mean, we nailed him on defense. It was just a great defensive game.
I think that may be my new favorite, like, Hawkeye football anecdote. Just seeing Ferentz and Norm Parker.
Yeah, he loves to tell stories about Norm Parker. Yeah,
And then Matt Campbell, you know, a big thing with Matt Campbell is the process, right? And kind of rebuilding this program, building it into something that he can be proud of. And a part of that we're seeing this year is losing guys early to the NFL draft. And you ask them kind of what that means for the program.
Coming up next month, everybody expects Montgomery and Butler to be drafted, at least those two. How will having more players and possibly higher profile players in the NFL help you and the program?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great question. I you know, you look at a little bit of it is it's finally great to be here at Iowa State doing that. You know, when you look at our tenure at the University of Toledo, you're talking about, you know, putting over 25 young men in the National Football League. Right now, 17 of those players still active, involved in the National and playing in the National Football League. And now you get to lay roots to that here in Ames, Iowa, and build it the same way. So, you know, I think what it says is you're developing your program, your players. Not only are you recruiting good student-athletes into your program, but during their 18, 19, 20-year, 20, 22-year-old time frame, they're developing, becoming the best version of themselves they can be and have a chance.
And they
to
come
play.
In and they see those pictures on the wall, right?
No, I think that's big, you know, and I certainly think it starts to give you maybe even some more credibility in terms of the development and the young players that you bring in our program. And we're really proud of those guys. You know, Alan Lazard had a great career, you know, bounced around last year and then got to play with the Packers at the end of the football season. And now you got guys like Akeem Butler and David Montgomery who left early. And really, in the reality of it, were probably great decisions. You know, as we got the feedback from the National Football League that these guys were ready for that opportunity and earned the right to be those guys, really excited for them. And so I think it's that's part of what you hope a good program has is guys reaching their full potential and putting themselves in position to further their athletic playing career for sure.
One of these days we're going to break Matt Campbell out of the box.
You think?
Man, it's hard.
He talks like a coach, man.
He talks. He's such a coach.
National Football
League. Coach speak.
Football players, football team.
Football people love to say the word football.
They do. They absolutely. Yeah, you're right
say
about
it over
that.
Over and over again.
All right. So he does like to talk about some goofy stuff. So you just got to go. You're good at that, Andy.
No, I mean, he's very. He believes in the process. Part of the process is talking like you're in the process, I think. Don't want to step out of that.
You're absolutely right about that. Here's the deal. I think the same thing about Coach Ferentz. But you have a way of just approaching things differently.
Well, we've known him a long time, so it's a little different there.
Ask Coach Campbell what he thinks about like ghosts and aliens, because that's, you know, he and Williams geek out on that all the
time.
Do
they really?
And I'm not
see,
supposed to say I, that. I don't think Chris has that relationship.
Yeah, Chris has that relationship with him. He could probably do that with him. I don't know that he would do that with us. I had him. Did I have him here Was he here or was he on the phone? No, he was on the phone.
He was on the phone.
But
yeah.
I was asking about the Browns helmets, and you know what, you know how anybody could think that those were cool helmets.
And like, if you get
he
in this
still
summer,
would not break.
Yeah, yeah, any helmet
break.
In the National Football League is it's an important helmet. It's a football helmet.
And I think, you know, one part of the process here is we want to get guys believing that they can wear one of those helmets one day.
Football helmets.
One of those football helmets. Ross, good to see you, man.
Thanks for having me in, man. I love this.
Back with more.
It's time for the play of the day, powered by the fastest short track on the planet, Iowa Speedway.
Jaquan Neal brings up the Barnstormers, 8-on-8, three receivers to the far side, two go in motion. Neal takes it, fakes the pitch, fires over the middle, wide open is Connor Hollenbach, hauls it in with two hands, spikes the football that almost goes up to the rafters, and the Iowa Barnstormers extend their lead 19-7 with 10:07 left to play, and Connor Hollenbach means business.
Get your season tickets today.
Oh, we set ourselves up for this one, didn't we? This one yours, right?
No.
Paul Abdul.
I kind of like the song.
Paul Abdul. Okay, it is Guilty Pleasures Day.
What's the song she did with the cat?
That was that.
Opposites Attract.
Opposites Attract.
You know what I'm talking about, Williams?
Two steps forward.
Oh, yeah, big Paul Abdul guy.
You were? Really?
Actually, I had a sister who was 4 years older than me, and she listened to
she
a
probably
lot of
still
this.
Is.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, and that, yeah. That was her thing.
Yeah, that'd she be was a Paul Abdul.
Andy, that'd be a really bad comeback if she wasn't.
Or if you're just like, well, actually, she died.
Yeah. She's dead. She fell off a cliff and died on impact.
All right, Chris Williams and Ross Peterson get warmed up for the Sports Fanatics next. We'll let them sit in on more.
It's time for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. I'm Scott Landreth, inviting you to get more savings, more selection, and more service only at Lithia Volkswagen. Visit DesMoinesVW.com. And now, back to Murph and Andy.
We hit 5 below 0 this morning right before sunrise. The record is -9. So we weren't real close to the record, but I couldn't believe how cold it was this morning. It was,
I actually just got chewed out from my wife.
Why?
Because there's still ice on the driveway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not getting rid of that.
So apparently Cameron slipped on it this morning. Now, she's okay. Didn't hit her head, nothing like that. But the wife is chewing me out because there's still ice.
You didn't get the ice off.
Did you show her where the hammer is?
Well, I'm like, you know, it's a little hard right now. Like this particular moment to clear that up.
It's impossible. It's so frozen solid. Part of the driveway.
But that's, she's, you know, this entitled wife who feels like she can text me and, you know, hammer at me on that.
Now, I'm going to guess that at some point she had asked you to get this taken care of.
I mean, I did a pretty good job of clearing that. There's like one spot right in the middle of where the cars sit where there's still ice.
Cammy just had to walk on that spot.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not your fault.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Yeah, we could have snow in the middle of the day on Thursday.
Ooh.
Yep, then rain on Saturday. Jeez, just will not stop. Jonathan Gano, City of Des Moines Public Works, says the city got 1,000 calls for pothole repairs last month.
Some monsters here on Ingersoll.
There are still.
I know, hats off to the city crew, because I did see them out working, and they were filling. The ones on Ingersoll up there by 35th were filled. But
that stuff doesn't work. That pothole patch doesn't work when it's this cold. That hot patch stuff, it's just a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Well, I think they're throwing Band-Aids on them bullet wounds.
Oh, yeah, they go crazy right with it. Like sharp, sharp potholes, like sharp-edged potholes.
Today, they can't be out there today when it's 5
below. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're out there. Absolutely, they're out there.
Yeah.
They're on the interstates, too. It's pretty bad.
Oh, right? Yeah. Those
are the nasty ones
down.
When you hit them at 65 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, faster you go, you just roll over the top of them. You get up to about 75, 78 miles an hour, you don't even feel them anymore. Yeah.
Just real fast.
And then you got a clanking in your Jeep.
Yeah, slit your car. YouTube says it plans to ban comments on most videos featuring young minors and amid concerns of pedophiles and using the platform to exploit children. I'm not sure what all this is about, but it sounds bad. And just to be sure, maybe YouTube should just go ahead and ban all comments on every video. Would we all be better off?
Why haven't they done this by now? This has been the black hole of society
forever. Wasted time
looking
through.
Lowest common denominator.
are YouTube commenters.
I haven't looked at YouTube comments in a very long,
LCD.
Long time.
I think I turned ours off on our Cyclone Fanatic videos like 7 years ago.
And really,
because they're so horrible.
You don't need those. Nobody gets any good information out of that stuff.
No.
Just get rid of it.
Can I go off on something else real quick?
Sure.
Do it.
Other than your team, of course, congratulations to the Bulldogs on their successful weekend. Clearly got bad news today. But, you know, when the teams start losing, why do fans just annihilate one another on Twitter? Like, I understand you're passionate. I understand you're upset. But why do you have to be so mean on social media? I don't understand it.
That is a whole different beast. I will tune into your show at 4 o'clock to listen to you guys talk about that. I'm serious.
They're so mean to each other.
You're right. They're terrible. They're like women talking about each other's clothes. They're awful.
It's exactly what it is.
At 10:39 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd, the Marshalltown Fire Department responded to a reported structure fire at 914 Jackson Street in Marshalltown. Upon arrival, firefighters found a two-car detached garage fully involved, threatening the house and the property, as well as the house next door. They put it out. No big deal. This information was provided to us by Marshalltown Fire Chief Christopher Cross.
So wait, there's no...
It flew right over William's head.
There's no other...
Crisscross is the old hip-hop band, right?
No, this is Christopher Cross. This guy that's singing, his name is Christopher Cross. You have to explain the jokes to him, Andy.
I miss Murph.
Yeah, Murph.
The whole thing is just an excuse to play Christopher Cross. Yeah.
I didn't know that, so I'm like waiting for the punchline of the story, and then all of a sudden you're like, brought to you by Christopher Cross. I got it. Williams didn't understand why we're smiling.
He's like Crisscross, the guy, the little kids that wore their jeans wore their backwards.
Well, shirts backwards and stuff.
The Sandlot is to be made into a TV series. The director of the original Sandlot says it's set to debut on a streaming platform at some point. No. It will be set in 1984.
This won't be good.
22 years after the original film setting of 1962. So maybe the original cast members are now adults in their 30s, playing fathers to young ball players.
That's right in my age group.
You guys, this is your movie. Yeah. This is your sports movie.
84, these guys are going to be about my age, maybe just slightly older. They'll be mid-40s, today. But so this might be up my alley. But, man, I'm not... The Sandlot movie, ever since I read that director's piece about what the movie's really about... Because he was picked on as a kid. He was never allowed to play with the kids in the neighborhood. So he wrote this movie about how he wished his childhood would be. And now it's just crushing to even think about.
Interesting.
Yeah. You think it'll be bad?
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's going to be any good. I mean,
my kids love it.
It's such a classic. It reminds me of when they did the Fuller House on Netflix, you know?
That's still going, I think.
Yeah, it still is. But we watched like three episodes.
Andy, I would think you and I, we could be consultants on this show. We remember 1984...
when I was born.
Little League, around.
Like, I remember it very well.
Trying to get a Don Mattingly rookie card out of your... the hard bubble gum that would come in your Tops.
Andy, are you looking... Because I know Ross will just crap all over it. The new Top Gun movie that's coming out?
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan as... Murph loves Top Gun.
Yeah, it's my all-time favorite movie.
He gets turned on when you start talking about Top Gun. He loves it. Yeah,
did you say it's your all?
Oh yeah, it really is.
It's your all time favorite. You've seen like 9 movies.
Yes,
that's true.
It really is my all time favorite movie.
I saw Garmin tweeted over the weekend. He was watching Top Gun on cable, and they edited out the volleyball scene.
What
time? And it's like you can't watch Top Gun.
The homoerotic volleyball scene.
If you don't see guys,
why are they wearing
guys
jeans?
Playing sand volleyball in tight jeans with Kenny Loggins playing with the boys over the. Over the background.
Well, if you're going to take off your shirt.
Yeah, why are you wearing
jeans?
Just
take your pants off, too.
Underwear.
You can't play volleyball in jeans.
Top Gun's good. It's no irony.
We'll finish up here.
Remember Hot Shots?
Piano rock favorite Ben Folds of the Ben Folds 5 and the Violent Femmes.
Yeah!
Are going to be co-headlining a tour, and they will stop here in Des Moines on August 15th at the soon-to-be-opened Waterworks Amphitheater. That's a Thursday night show.
Have you seen the layout for this, Andy?
Yeah,
the amphitheater.
It's badass.
Beautiful.
It's really, really cool. The Violent Femmes were a huge band in high school for me.
Oh,
I think they're two dudes, though, right? Two guys?
Three, I think.
Three guys?
A drummer, a bassist,
Gordon.
The guy, yeah.
But the one, like, Chris would
Gano
maybe even know. They have a
Blister in the Sun.
Blister in the Sun. Let me go wild.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
Yeah,
this
you know that
is
one.
From the same album.
Yep.
Dude, I love the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
I saw them in concert.
One guy playing a snare drum.
In the late 90s. Do like a little acoustic
stand-up
show.
Stand-up bass and guitar.
It was fantastic. Yes.
Ever seen Ben Folds? He is he's fantastic.
I might have. Yeah, Ben Folds is great,
fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic.
This would be a really good show.
I'm excited
good,
for that.
Good weather for this in August. It'd
wife
be fantastic.
Tagged me on this on Facebook. We'll be at that one, definitely.
We're That's out of time. One. Guys, thanks so
Thank
much
you.
For your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
We'll come back with the 80 squared. We got a good one saved over from last Friday, and then the Sports Fanatics will be back next. Peter Tosh?
Yeah.
Very nice. It is, you don't have to feel guilty about Peter Tosh. But,
no.
No. No. No, 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 no. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. And also on Friday, we were so packed with stuff with Farley and Ference and Campbell and everybody else there that we didn't have time to do our big Friday thing.
That's
the
right.
The thing that we always close the week with. And it just wasn't the same.
And it's the second week in a row that we haven't done this on Friday.
Right.
So for the second week in a row, I need to warn people, maybe a little extra warning here on a Monday. If you're not used to this, it may be just a little shocking. But none of these bleeps are necessary. It's all innocent conversation. A lot of it had right here on this show. But what I've done is I've taken words that we've said, I've placed bleeps to make you hear things that aren't actually there. It's a bit we stole from Jimmy Kimmel about 8 years ago, and have been doing it every week since. What you hear, it's on you, it's not on us. It's this week in Iowa, last week, rather, in Iowa, unnecessary censorship.
I was out sh**ing along the street in front of my house yesterday.
Do you remember the first time you saw it, and he f**ed that horse,
yeah,
and you were just like, what the?
Can you f**k a horse now,
I don't think
or
so.
Would
no.
there be like a...
No.
Pro- I mean, he didn't really f**k the horse, but
you would offend all equine lovers.
Measuring my doesn't sound to me like I could really do anything to embarrass myself. Just hold up the to be measured, let them go ahead and stretch the tape across it, and then judge me for the width of my
the groundhog said it was going to be early spring, so we actually have
punched that little in the head. Jeez,
what
early spring my
what,
ass.
What is a f-er?
It's just a little pissant punk little guy you want to just punt him like a football.
Their range. I mean, he can act, he can direct, he can do comedy, he can do drama. Now he can sing and play the guitar. He can make a woman pregnant with his right in front of his own girlfriend.
You would look into his face and you just would not even hear what he was saying because you're thinking to yourself, this guy has been f***ed in the face a million times. This guy has been f***ed so many times. And you just never looked up close at a guy's face that has just been f***ed over and over and over and over again. Punched!
Yeah.
Craig Berube, I was talking about, the Blues head coach.
That's right.
That's kind of a fun way to start the week every now and then. We've done that a couple of times. Last 2 weeks started
yeah,
off
right.
the week. That's the way we like to end. Maybe we'll have a normal ending to the week this week. Who knows? We're on quite a streak here. Let's look in on the Quickie Polls brought to us by WCI Pools and Spas. First of all, let's go back to Friday's Quickie Poll, which we didn't get to do the stupid Quickie Poll and check in on that. It was a really good one, too. It was very, really, very witty. Is it fun to pee in the snow? 80% say yes.
Yeah.
Colors melting. Only 20% say nope. Risk of frosted tip. Today's Quickie Poll said, if you had to bet on one men's basketball team winning a big game right now, where would your money go? 47% say Drake, 40% Iowa State. Only 13% would pick Iowa at this point. By the way, Murph won throwdowns.
Well done, Murph.
Just got that kind of effect on that game. We leave you with what it sounds like poison to me.
Yep.
Had to figure that
final guilty
could,
pleasure
could not
day.
Get out clean without them. Thanks for listening. Murph back tomorrow. Show back to normal. And the Sports Fanatics with Ross and Chris back in this studio next.